This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the SportsMap Radio Network.
All right. Let's do this.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, hour number three. Thanks for joining us. Hit us up on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. All right, we're going to get more on the Masters and more on Tiger now. Scottie Scheffler is the Green Jacket champion, but more on Tiger and a weekend that really was special for people in the sports world who really, really wanted this. I mean, maybe you weren't one of them, but there were certainly a lot of people that wanted to see Tiger come back and play some level of competitive golf. We'll get to that in a minute. But we'll also get to the really sad story of the weekend, and that was Dwayne Haskins, who lost his life after he was hit by a truck on a Florida highway. We'll talk about that this weekend. That really shocked a lot of us on Saturday morning with that bit of news. But back to Tiger for a second. Listen, was he a competitive golfer at the Masters? Not really. Had a good opening round, one under, but he never was in contention for this thing. But the reality of it is, I don't think people cared. I think people wanted to see him back in some capacity of playing on a competitive level. Tiger Woods is just one of those athletes that, as I've said many times, that for whatever reason, America is just not done with him yet, right? We tend to do this with athletes. It's one of the hardest things. You know what, to be honest with you, when you reach a level of notoriety and fame, there is a point where America moves on to the next thing, right? I mean, that's one of the reasons why if you are an actor that is able to have a very, very long career doing a lot of different things, that should be cherished because it doesn't usually happen. And I'm not talking like an actor like Gary Oldman who can find roles in just about everything, but I'm talking about like box office superstars, you know, like a Tom Cruise, where you just put him in a movie and people just go see that movie, even if the movie stinks. And athletes are in the same way because athletes have a very short shelf life. You get into the public eye, you win, you become super famous for that, and then eventually your skills erode to a point where you just slowly disappear. Athletes like Tom Brady, we are still waiting for that moment. But with Tiger Woods, I don't think many people wanted it to end in that way. They didn't want Tiger to be the last thing they saw was Tiger Woods being taken to a hospital after a horrific car accident on a California road. I think they wanted to see him play golf and maybe just kind of disappear into being an elder statesman of the game rather than one day realizing that it was all over. All right, coming up next, what we know from the accident that cost Dwayne Haskins his life when we continue on Wake Up Call. Hey,
this is Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That is Ron with two N's. Love to hear your thoughts. Again, Saturday morning, woke up to the sad, sad news that Pittsburgh Steelers quarterback Dwayne Haskins was killed on a Florida highway. He was hit by a truck. Why he was on that highway, officials in Miami and that South Florida area do not know why he was on that highway so early in the morning. He was down in South Florida working out with Steelers quarterbacks and wide receivers, a organized activity by Steeler quarterback Mitch Trubisky. He was down there for that, but nobody knows why. I initially, like when things were starting to pop, you would hear somebody talk about maybe ran out of gas, and you know, but that doesn't seem to be the case. This is really, really sad news. 24 years old, taken too soon. And I know, look, Adam Schefter got in trouble, I guess, because he wrote something on Twitter that said, you know, that immediately when reporting his death, talked about his struggles as a quarterback in Washington. And people said, you know, there's a time and place to talk about his career. That's not it, right? Dwayne Haskins is a human being, is a young man. He lost his life. He's more than a football player. He's more than a guy that didn't do well after being drafted by Washington. Let's leave it at that. Let's just say that Dwayne Haskins lost his life. He was trying to resurrect his career. Well, I mean, to be honest with you, he never got started, but nevertheless, he's trying to earn his place in the NFL with the Pittsburgh Steelers. And I kind of agree to that. I kind of get what Schefter was trying to do. I mean, when you have a reporter's mindset, sometimes you lose sort of the sort of a, I don't know how to, the sentimentality of the report, if that makes any sense. You sort of lose sort of the human side of it. You just report, right? If a politician died, right? Like say, you know, this person and then lost re-election, and you go, oh, does it really matter if they won, they won an election and lost an election? Does it really matter? Like they just passed away. But this is really troubling. I don't know about you, Ron, but I'm curious to find out what exactly happened here. Why was he on the highway? What was he doing that early in the morning on the highway?
I mean, the problem is, we may never know.
We may never know.
And the only thing that we are left with is just running scenario after scenario after scenario.
If he ran out of gas, where's the car? They didn't seem to find a car that said, his car is a mile away on the side of the road out of gas. That's one of the reasons he was walking on the highway.
Was he kicked out of a car?
Did
he get into an argument with someone and just...
They say he was trying to cross over four lanes of highway.
Yeah.
Why would you do that? I won't cross two lanes of high-speed road. Forget a highway. I won't cross two lanes of road.
Yeah, right? The other day, I'm driving down, I'm coming home, and I'm taking a highway, and there's a guy walking. Startled me.
Yeah. Good,
but he parked his car on the shoulder. Something fell out of the back of his truck, and it was like in the middle between two lanes. And it was just like as cars are coming over a hill, you see this, and you don't have to swerve dramatically, but you got to move out of the way, or else you're going to hit whatever this thing is. I'm looking at him walking back and getting it. For me, it's like, forget it. That belongs to the road now.
Right.
Yeah. I have no idea, especially that late at night. I have no idea what could possibly be. And I know we're, set to get it becomes a public report like 90 to 122,
yeah,
120 days from now.
Something like that.
So 3 to 4 months from now.
So there's a couple of things about this. One, the Steelers have issued a statement. Players have issued statements. Chase Claypool is in tears on Twitter. There was a number of Steelers who talked about him being a very uplifting person. Again, I don't know Dwayne Haskins, so I'm going to trust that the people that do know him were saying the things about him that they wanted to share, which was that I think Ben Roethlisberger was the one that said, because he was on the team last year, said that is a guy that never seemed to have a bad day, was always upbeat, smiling, was always trying to make people happy. Again, compare and contrast the image of Dwayne Haskins that people had because he wasn't successful right off the bat when he played for Washington after being drafted in the first round. It is sad to me that people wanted to immediately go to the ability to play NFL football card when, somebody lost their life. However, I get that it's the one way we identify with that particular person. I kind of get that angle. But it's hard when your life is defined by what you didn't do rather than the things that you do that nobody seems to know. I personally, for example, because again, I'm not a Washington fan and I'm a Steeler fan, but I didn't know anything about him. So to me, it was refreshing to see the Steelers and the players and even teammates in Washington say what an amazing human being he was. Because again, you are not defined by your ability to play NFL football just because you were drafted in the first round. You're defined by how many people around you and what you've done to the lives of people around you. It seems like Dwayne Haskins, to those who know him, who knew him, were affected by him in a positive way, not just in a football way. And I think that's important. I will say this, that the Schefter tweet bothered a lot of people. All right, and I know he deleted the tweet. It bothered a lot of people. But again, I get it. I get it as a reporter. I don't excuse it, but I get it. The one thing I will say, Gil Brandt at 90 years old probably did his last radio appearance
ever
for the rest of his life, ever. I do not know what possessed Gil Brandt, who is a highly respected football personality, right, in the Hall of Fame. For him to go on a radio show and say he was a guy that was living to be dead and, quote, maybe if he stayed in school a year, he wouldn't do silly things like jogging on a highway. Brandt had no idea if he was jogging on a highway.
Yeah.
We have no idea why he was on that highway. This is insane.
I mean, and listen, I know the first report was that he ran out of gas, right?
Yeah.
And now the growing consensus is, maybe this was a suicide. And if it is a suicide, I mean, God, you know, the demons that bring you to that moment in time, your heart breaks for him.
Yeah. And I think more, and again, I guess we'll never know unless he left a note or whatever, but we'll never know again. Maybe he was trying to cross over because he did. He needed some emergency help. We have no idea. But what we will get is we will get bits and pieces of this story as they are released, right?
Yeah.
There'll be something about more information on what the driver saw, right? More information on his state of mind when he was with the teammates down in Florida, whatever it may be. And then I guess we'll make our own conclusions on that. We'll never really truly know what happened. Going back to the Brandt comments, I was amazed how careless this was. I mean, people are saying, well, he's 90. I don't care. Gil Brandt is he's not on the radio because he's Gil Brandt. He has nothing worthwhile to say. That's not how this business works. Like, you better deliver on things that you can say. And Gil Brandt was delivering on his analysis of football for a long time. For him to say this kind of stuff was mind-boggling to me. I mean, just instead of that feeling of, can we pull away from football or whatever, he went down a road of like, he should have stayed in school. Why should he have stayed in school, Gil Brandt?
Right.
Why? Why? Why are you making that assessment? Because he wouldn't do silly things. Oh, is there a class on that he could have taken his senior year at Ohio State that says don't jog on a highway? Is that what you mean? Or do you mean that he should have stayed another year because you didn't like how he played football for Washington? That's probably it.
And let's be honest, right? If you or I are faced with that opportunity, we're leaving school.
Of course we are.
For millions of dollars? Come on now. That's why you're in school, is to achieve that ultimate dream. It's like, hey, I'm in school, so hopefully one day I can retire early. Well, you know what? He got his ticket.
You know what? You know what this is? And I think Gil Brandt saw a player that left school, went to the NFL, wasn't successful right away at the NFL, felt like he could have used another year of schooling and then used the opportunity of his death to make that point. Like, it's ridiculous. Ridiculous. And I don't get me wrong. I've heard and read a lot of Gil Brandt's thoughts and his analysis of the league, and I still think at 90 years old, he still really knows the NFL, today's NFL. But this, you'll probably never hear him on the airway again.
Yeah, I mean, and listen, I know that old people get a pass.
Sure.
You know, we know that they have no filter. You know, we always talk about it like with our grandparents, and they're like, my grandfather, he would say whatever he wanted. He didn't care.
Right,
no filter.
Right, right.
And, you know, you and I joke about, hey, let's get to that point. I can't wait for it to be accepted for me to say the stuff that comes out of my mouth. But this one was, that is what Gil Brandt said is not that.
Yeah, I know. It was a couple of things. I mean, it wasn't just one little flippant remark. It was a couple of things. It was very disrespectful. And again, the Schefter tweet, I think the reason people had problems with the Schefter tweet was there's a time and a place for analysis of one's career. The morning of their death,
yeah,
when everyone is grieving and everyone's upset and everyone is it's the loss of a human life. It's the loss of a person, whether they could throw an NFL pass or not, whether they could lead a team to a touchdown drive or not is absolutely irrelevant to the loss of a person, right? Dwayne Haskins if he lived, he may not have started one game for the Steelers. That doesn't mean Chase Claypool doesn't love him.
No,
it doesn't mean his teammates don't love him.
And let's be honest, he looked like the type of player he could go down the path of a journeyman quarterback.
Sure.
And that's a great career.
And he was only 24. It's not like he was 34, like, wow, 10 years into this thing and never figured it out. He could have been in the wrong coaching, the wrong system, the wrong way. And you never know with the Steelers. Or it didn't even have to be the Steelers. It could have been another spot where somebody got him at a certain time of growth and he became a pretty good quarterback. Who knows, right? But he was electric at Ohio State, for crying out loud, right? I mean, 50 touchdowns. I mean, he was electric at Ohio State. So I'm glad to see people were able to say, hey, let's slow the roll on failed quarterback Dwayne Haskins lost his life. Let's stop that nonsense. That's ridiculous. That's silly. It's petty. It's dumb. And you don't need to say that.
And the problem, I think the problem.
24-year-old young man.
for us now, moving forward, what we're going to be left with is, you know, just figuring out how to answer that question. Why?
Right.
I mean, and, you know, we probably have to deal with the fact that we will never know.
That's right. I agree completely. All right. On Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That is Ron with two N's. We'll continue. It is Sports Map Radio.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That is Ron with two N's. Again, still buzzing about the Masters over the weekend. Boy, that course, every year, I love watching. I just think that course is one of the most beautiful places on Earth. Every year, I just love watching it.
And you know what surprises me? I mean, you know, we've talked about it a bunch. Every golf pundit we bring on always says it. It's the only major that is played on the same course year after year after year, yet it's the only major that the course usually wins.
Right. The course does, again, it there's a bite to it still has. I mean, whether it's when the winds pick up, whether the greens are baked, whether the water just comes into play, nerves come into play, it's an unbelievable setting. But like Jay Coffin said last hour, the U.S. Open is going to be held at Brookline in Massachusetts. I've been to Brookline. I can't remember one hole on that golf course. I went to the 88 U.S. Open that was won by Curtis Strange. I can't remember. I remember one hole. It was like, I guess, a par three. It's a second hole, I think. But I don't remember anything. I remember the 99 Ryder Cup, but I can't tell you a hole. Why? Because it's not in my life every single year. I just don't know it enough. I don't know how it's played. I don't know its tricks or what its signature hole is or what makes it unique or what makes it tough.
And that's what I find so fascinating about Augusta, because you know all the tricks. You know where you should put the ball, yet you know it proves time and time and time again. I mean, you don't see people, you know, I can't remember too many times where you had like a whole bunch of people in double figures, like, you know, under par.
Well, yeah, that would,
and it just always seems like you're hovering right around par on this course.
Why is it that there was only a handful of golfers under par at the start of of round four? I mean,
you see some tournaments and you have like the cut line is like two under.
Yeah,
here it was like, you know, four over. It's like, hey, here's the cut. If you got four over, you're in.
And again, you look at the par fives on that golf course, right? The par fives are 2, 8, 13, and 15. Okay. And 2 is a downhiller. It doesn't take much to get down to that area. It doesn't take much to get around the green in 2. You can usually get there with an iron if a good drive off the tee. 8 is uphill. You need a wood or a long iron, but if you get it to run, it'll run right up there. 13, if you play a nice draw off the tee, you should get home with an iron. And 15, if you got a good drive that goes down the hill, you should get a good iron right into the pond. But what makes those tough? What makes those tough is there are bumps, mounds, there's water on 2 of those, and, oh, by the way, the greens don't hold particularly well if you're coming in hot. Like, they become difficult. But if you're looking to score, it's a great golf course to score. But it will also bite you, too. There are major championship courses where if the conditions are easy, everybody finds them easy, right? St. Andrews is wide open. St. Andrews is wide open. And if it's not windy, which is very, very rare, but there's been a few times where there's been mild conditions at St. Andrews, everybody benefits. Everybody benefits. But Augusta National is still one of those places where even when you have a calm day like on Sunday, you still saw 75s, right? Like you will see scores where you're like, that guy shot 64 and another guy shot 77. There's just small little things about that place where you better be right. You better not go for the flag. If you go for the flag, you're in trouble. Why was Cameron Smith going for the pin on 12? Like, why didn't he understand that the center of the green and just get out of there? Fight on another hole, not that one. You're not going to hit it stiff on 12 with a pin tucked over to the right side. What are you, insane? Like, if you miss it like he did, it's going in the water. It's not even missing it like where you land in the water. If you miss it and catch the slope, it'll roll back into the water. Like, you're better off being left and staying left or center of the green and move on. You don't have to look any further than 2019 when Tiger won. Tiger won had no business of that pin. He hit it right on the center of the green, made his putts, and got out of there. Who went in the water? Brooks Koepka, Francisco Molinari, now Cam Smith. Jordan Spieth did it a couple of years ago. But as I was saying in hour one, Ron, the thing that makes that hole so intimidating, it's the most incredible setting in golf. You come off the 11th green. You look at all the people. You're walking towards the people. They're screaming. They're standing. They're cheering. You embrace the noise. You embrace the admiration. You embrace the energy that they're giving you. And then you turn your head, and that's just you in the hole. There's no group of people standing behind it. There's no crowd behind it. It's just you. You want to talk about 16 in Scottsdale, where it's surrounded by people? Try playing 12 when people are behind you and no one's in front of you. Try playing 12 when the only thing you see is the green and the stick and the trees and the water. Right? There's nothing there. You go from the energy of the crowd to turn your head. Now you got business. Now you got work to do. And it gets some of the best golfers in the world. Some of the best golfers in the world have come to that particular location at that particular moment and have failed. Tom Weisskopf did it years and years ago. I think he made it 10 on that hole. And Jordan Spieth has done it. One of the most iconic images in all of Masters history was in 1992, where Fred Couples in the final round missed the green and the ball started rolling back towards Rae's Creek, and somehow it caught a patch of grass where it was held up just enough. Any other Masters, it would have been in the water. Somehow this miracle of the ball finding just enough cushion while it was rolling backwards where it got caught and it stayed up on the bank and Couples made par. It is devastating, that hole. And Cam Smith had momentum and got there and just, as soon as he hit it, I love that they did a slow-mo of his face. They did the slow-motion reaction of him going through the ball, his eyes closed, fires through the ball, lifts his head up, eyes open, and then his eyes droop. And then his face droops. And then his club just slips out of his hands. He knew the second that ball got up in the air, that was wet.
Do you think he was playing Rene Russo's voice in his head saying, everyone's going to remember that 12?
Right. Right.
Oh, man.
And that was it. And then he took his approach shot. He dropped, so he's hitting three. That ball didn't land on the green. Then he skirted it off, skirted it with his chip, and then missed the putt. He made six. And that was it. Good.
And
when
I read somewhere that one hole cost him $750,000?
Yeah. Because he couldn't get back. He couldn't. If he had tied for, if he had won, if he had finished in second, he would have made $1.4 million or something like that, whatever Rory made. Nope. Bye-bye, $870,000. By the way, you want to talk about the Tiger effect? You want to know why everybody loves Tiger? So Scottie Scheffler's won four events now. He's won $8.8 million already. We're not even.
Right.
Right? Like,
back in the day, Tiger won a bucket of chicken.
Yeah, right.
It's like nothing.
Chambly, what was Chambly? Brandon Chambly on the Golf Channel.
Yeah,
was talking about how back in the day, Curtis Strange won $1 million for a season.
Right.
I was like, that was great. Like, if you could break the $1 million mark, because they were saying that they were having a conversation in 1997. They said, how much money do you think Tiger Woods will win in his first year as a professional golfer? And they went around the room. It was like Nance, Peter Costas, and Chambly, and those guys. And everyone was like, $800,000, $900,000. One person said he might break $1 million. And Jim Nance said $2 million. And everybody said no. So they made a bet. And Tiger made over $2 million in 1997, and Nance won the money. He goes, now Scottie Scheffler's won four events. We haven't even hit May.
Yeah.
He's already won $8.8 million. The winner of the Masters used to get $180,000.
See,
now they get over $2 million. That's not just inflation, folks.
You don't need Saudi money.
No. $2 million bucks for winning the Masters. Yeah, it's a lot of money thanks to one man, Tiger Woods. All right, continue. It's Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
This is, we continue with his Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio. All right, so with the Masters done, April's still a fun month. The NBA playoffs getting started this week, the play-in games. If you like that kind of thing, I'm not a fan of it, but I get it. I understand it. Adam Silver's wanted this for a long time. He's wanted some sort of tournament, like a mid-season tournament. Remember when he posed that idea? Like, how about we freeze everything, and then we'll play this massive, like, single elimination summer league kind of tournament thing. For whatever reason, nobody knows why. They just wanted to do it, and then go back to the regular season. On Tuesday, the 7th and 8th place game, Cleveland and Brooklyn, that'll be going down. And then the Clippers in Minnesota. And then you've got the 9th, 10th place games in Charlotte and Atlanta and San Antonio and New Orleans. That'll be on Wednesday. So now, so I forget. How does the play-in game work? Is it best 2 out of 3 or is it just single elimination and you're done?
I thought it was single elimination. Not single elimination. If you win your game, then you go and play somebody else. And then if you lose, you're like the two winners of the playing games go and play each other.
So if Cleveland,
and then that guy goes on. But if you won a game and then you lost that one, then you play somebody else.
Oh, I got you. Okay.
I think, right?
Well, here's what I don't understand about the play-in tournament. Yeah, right. Okay, I get it now. So Cleveland and Brooklyn are right now 8-7-8. So they've both really have earned a right to be in the playoffs without a single elimination, right? So here's basically how it's going to work. Cleveland and Brooklyn are going to play for the 7-8 seed. There's a 7-8 seed. The winner gets the 7 seed. Now the 8-9 team will play. So this is in the East, Charlotte and Atlanta. The loser of that, out.
Yes.
The winner has to play the loser of the 7-8 game for the right for the 8 seed.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. So it's not single elimination for the 9-10.
But it's like a little mini tournament.
Yeah. It's single elimination for 9-10.
Yeah. So they don't know who, if you are the number two, like, okay, let's take the West because Memphis is number two in the West. So it's Minnesota versus LA. Winner of that is the 7 seed. That's the team that gets Memphis on Saturday, right? In round one of the playoffs.
Right.
The loser of that game will take on the winner of the San Antonio New Orleans game, and the winner of that game gets the Phoenix Suns. So there you go. Is this not the dumbest idea I've ever heard in the postseason? Why can't you just earn a postseason berth? Why does everything have to be some sort of mini tournament?
Well,
why does baseball do this too? And I like the one game wild card. It's exciting, but it's not the greatest way to get into the playoffs.
No, but why are we? Was it broken?
That's what I kept asking. Why are we doing this?
We already have half the teams in the NBA making a playoff.
Does my NCAA basketball tournament argument fit for this? You know how I always say, quit your whining if you didn't get into a field of 68. I don't want to hear it, fan base. I don't want to hear it, coaches. I don't want to hear it, players. If you didn't earn your way into a 68-team basketball tournament, I don't want to hear it. Can I say the same about the NBA? Like, you're a 9 seed and you feel like you deserve a postseason opportunity? Now, maybe these teams aren't calling for it. Maybe this is just Adam Silver's way of upping media rights. Sure, I get that. Lord knows. But was anybody crying because it was a 10 seed that didn't make the playoffs or didn't have an opportunity to make the playoffs? You know what it is? They did it in Orlando for that Zion Williamson thing, and then they went, oh, this actually is kind of fun. We should probably continue to do this. That's what it was. But you're right. Was it broken? I mean, in a 7-game series, the 8 seed against a 1, there's very little chance an 8 seed has. Best of 5, I've seen it happen. But in a 7-game series, so go ahead and enjoy throttling each other until you get to play the 1 or the 2 seed in the playoffs in a 7-game series. But I'm with you. I don't think it was broken to begin with.
It's just, it's funny. I mean, why did this come about because of the bubble, too? Because it's brand new. I don't get it. Why should the 10th seed, you know, is it because, oh, they were, you know, they came on late in the season. They were playing better. Who cares?
Well, I think in the bubble it sort of made sense. Remember we talked about this 2 years ago with that bubble. We said, look, you've got to convince – if you're going to make teams do this whole thing about quarantine, testing every day, eating food from plastic trays and playing cards and throwing the cards away, and they can't even go to Disney World and they're in Disney World, but they can't even go there.
They're staring at a golf course and can't tee up.
Can't tee up. Can't do anything fun. Right? If you're going to convince teams to do that, you've got to give them an incentive to do that.
Yeah, we got ping pong tables for them.
Like just going to complete the regular season was, you know, like only a few. Like you had to say that's one of the reasons they didn't invite a lot of the teams. Atlanta didn't get to go. The Knicks didn't get to go. They weren't very good at that time, so they said, look, we're only bringing in teams that have a legitimate shot at the playoffs. And, oh, by the way, we're going to expand the playoffs a little bit because we have to make it worth your while for you to do this. It's not just going to be – like, you're not – like, if I was Trae Young – now, at the time, Atlanta was terrible. Last year, they made a really good run to the playoffs. But in 2020, they weren't that good. If I was Trae Young, I'd be like, I'm nowhere near that place. I'm not going there and going there for a month – to play 6 basketball games to fulfill our local Atlanta Hawks contract. Right? Like I don't care. Fine me, suspend me. I don't care. I'm not going away from my family in a bubble at Disney World where my life is going to stink just to play some stupid basketball games. We're in last place. Right? Just so Comcast Atlanta can charge their full rate to their advertisers. No. But the NBA said, no, don't worry about it. You don't have to go. The only teams that go are the teams that have a legitimate shot for the playoffs, and we've expanded a little bit, so it gives you a fighting chance. And all these teams said, that'd be great. That'd be fun. Okay, fine. And I think Adam Silver went, you know what? That was actually pretty decent. I think that was actually kind of cool. In fact, wouldn't it be cool if we did it all the time? And then last year, LeBron got into it. Remember LeBron and Golden State and the Lakers were in the play-in tournament?
It worked.
And they must have said, oh, because that was a great game. Remember the game the Lakers beat Golden State?
Of course.
At Staples, now Crypto. That was awesome. That was one of the best games. That was fantastic. And I think Adam Silver went, oh, you know what would be even better? If we take even more crappy teams and put them in this situation. Like, this is like the first 4 games of the NCAA tournament. Like, wake me up when the real stuff starts.
Yeah. And I'm sorry. I feel bad. If a 10th seed is able to get into this tournament over, you know, the 7 or 8, the teams that actually put a whole season's worth together. I mean, it'd be like us right now, you know, looking at the NFL playoffs and going, well, we got to figure out some way for the Dolphins to get in. I know they lost 7 straight to start the season, but then they won 7 straight.
Yep.
So they're on fire now, and we need to get them into the playoffs.
It goes back to this argument that we've always had when it comes to professional sports. We get it's about money. We get it is about maximizing your dollar, right? We're starting to see Major League Baseball uniforms having advertising on it. We get it. And all the owners want to expand the playoffs because it means more revenue.
Yep.
I understand. But at some point, you do have to pull yourself back a little bit and say, again, if everyone's a playoff team, nobody is, right? Like, what exactly are we doing? How much are you devaluing the chase for the postseason if, in the end, anybody that is somewhat decent gets in? If the only teams you're eliminating from your – and this goes to the NFL, too. If the only teams you're eliminating from the postseason during the regular season are just garbage football teams, basketball teams, baseball teams, but anybody that's halfway decent has a fighting chance, then why would I ever put together a better team?
Right.
Right? Here, listen, that's the problem.
You want to know what I'll agree to? And I know it'll never happen because it doesn't maximize the dollar at all. But if they're bent on throwing all the teams in, then you create an NCAA tournament style. Put all the teams in there.
Absolutely. Put everybody in.
See, then what is it, 1 through 30?
Yeah.
So add 2 more NBA so we can have an even bracket and then just seed them all. You know, one place 32, or you can keep it west and east. One place 16, and just go from there.
Yeah, I honest to God, I don't again, listen, it's exciting. I get it. I know for the teams that are in these play-in games, I'm sure they're excited. But at what point, like, what makes Adam – why wouldn't Adam Silver in a few years go, you know what, it's working, let's just add some more?
Yeah.
Why not?
You know, hey, have a – you know, have them both have a home and away game.
Yeah, it's the NFL, you know, like they too. Do, the NFL's going to be doing this too.
Yeah, like they do in soccer, right? You're in a tournament, you get to play – each team gets to play at home, and then you do aggregate scoring. So we should have scorers at the end of round one. Say it's like, who's the number one team this year? Say Phoenix?
Yeah.
And, you know, I'll just throw L.A. in there because they were, you know, miserable. You should have a final score of, like, you know, 270 to 230 aggregate scoring.
Right. Exactly. But, listen, I know some of you are out there like, oh, you old fuddy-duddies. You don't get I'm telling you.
It's not broken.
It's you're devaluing your product. Look, I'm a Steeler fan. I loved that they got into the playoffs.
Of course.
Right? I loved it. But you know what? I'm glad they did. I'm glad they got the seat. But you know what? If it was under the old system and they didn't have that extra playoff team, I would have been fine with the Steelers not making the playoffs. They didn't have a very good season. Under the current circumstances, they made the playoffs. Fine. But you know what? Even I, who benefited by seeing my team in the postseason because of the expansion, I'm even ready to go, yeah, but you know what? They deserve to be nowhere near the playoffs under normal rules, under normal existence. In the NBA, if you're talking about – and here's the other thing, too. If you're a coach, like Frank Vogel, for example, you better be careful because now these owners are like, you can't get into a 10-team field out of our conference? Like, no, I can't.
Man, I followed the Lakers for years. I'm glad that they're not in the playoffs. This team does not deserve
Absolutely.
To be in the playoffs. And you know what? You know what happens when you don't make the playoffs? Real change happens.
That's right. That's right. And you don't get under this delusion that you're one player away.
Right.
Right? When you lose the play-in game or you're an 8 seed or whatever and you got in, or a 9 seed that got in, or a 10 seed that got in, you're not going, well, if we could just get one shooting guard, we'll be fine. Right? No, you go, we didn't make it. We were not one of the 8 teams that made it to the postseason. Let's break it down. Let's figure out why. Let's figure out how we can be competitive. Look at Phoenix. Look at Memphis. Look at Dallas. Look at whoever and go, we need to be that. If we're not that, then we got to be better than what we are. Right? NFL teams. This is one of the reasons with the Steelers. Even though they made the playoffs, I was glad that Ben Roethlisberger didn't go, you know what, that was actually fun. My crooked arm and my aching body, let me come back and try this bad boy again.
Well, when
you
they
know
made...
what, let me play one more year because that was – no, Ben Roethlisberger looked around and went, no, thank you. I'm out. I can't do this anymore. Done.
Right, and when they made the playoffs this year, did you think like, hey, Super Bowl bound, here we go, babe. We just need to get hot at the right time.
That's
you wouldn't
right.
want this Steelers team in the Super Bowl?
No. Of course not. No, they were completely.
Can you imagine this team like getting hot at the right time, playing every single week, and then having that 2-week break?
Yeah, exactly.
Then you'd go down as like, I mean, it's like, yeah, you know, I thought the Niners-Chargers game was bad.
Exactly.
Sorry, I think on my team.
Free All Deep Penetrating Oil. It delivers 3 times more lubricant, so it takes less spray and less torque to get the job done. Rusted bolts. Engine removals, things that you normally need deep penetrating oil for, Free All will get it done for you. Again, if you're looking to make that job a lot easier, then you got to go get Free All. And you can do it at Napa, O'Reilly, AutoZone, and even selected Walmart stores. Again, 3 times more lubricant. Guys like me that I'm like, hey, I could use all the help I can get when it's time to get rid of corroded U-bolts or axle bolts or rusted chains. Whatever you need Free All deep penetrating oil for, go get it, and it's going to make your life a lot easier. Again, Free All deep penetrating oil. We'll come back, wrap up the show. It's Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, as we get ready to wrap up the show again, we'll be back tomorrow. Glad you can be with us on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with 2 N's. Don't forget, like us on Facebook. The Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver. And also you can find our podcast as well in case you missed the show and you're just enjoying it. We actually separate the podcast into interviews and also Good, the Bad, and the Dumb so you can get the shorter versions of the segments that you like. So don't forget. All right.
And sometimes small little features like our Who's on First routine.
Yeah, exactly. It's cool that Sports Map Radio Productions is sponsored by Ford, the Edsel. I just remembered the Edsel car was like big in the 50s. The Edsel.
You'll never find a more smoother ride.
You'll never find a more smoother ride than the Edsel. It's dreamy.
Although, when we were talking about it beforehand, like the few days beforehand, you did one for Lucky Strike. He's like, get lucky with Lucky Strike. I thought that was cute.
Oh, Lucky Strike, yeah. 6 out of 7 doctors prefer Lucky Strike cigarettes. Smoke up, pregnant lady. It's good for your baby. Right? Like what we were tricked on.
You remember, one of the scenes I love most in Dazed and Confused was that scene when the 16-year-old's buying or 15-year-old's buying beer. And the guy behind the counter is telling the lady, he's like, you know, you're pregnant. You got to drink lots of milk as she's buying alcohol and has a cigarette in her hand. Like, it was just widely okay with that. It's like, hey, just make sure you have your milk.
Oh, I remember as a kid growing up in front of those Saturday morning cartoons, and they'd be like Sugar Bear or Sugar Smacks, Super Golden Crisp, Sugar Golden Crisp.
Yep.
There was one ad where he was skiing down the slopes and Sugar Bear, they were like, it's Sugar Bear. And he's like, I've got my Sugar Crisp now with even more sugar. And we took it and went, absolutely, of course. Mommy, buy me 8 boxes of that, please. That's fantastic. Oh, that's great. We'll see you tomorrow. Tony D, Ron Culver, Sports Map Radio.